in this dunya, the world, the wealth, mal, money, it could be in the form of anything, wealth in the form of anything, for that there are thieves and bandits present as well. Anybody who has mal, money, currency, in whatever form, then he always is at risk, and there's a danger that maybe a thief will come, maybe a bandit will come. And so that person who possesses the wealth, he protects his wealth or her wealth. And the more precious the items will be, whether it's gold or diamonds, silver possibly, or it could be cash, then according to the value, the person protects the wealth. And the thieves of the world, they're always in this cycle, thinking that let's grab and loot his wealth. Somebody protects his pocket, safeguards his pockets. There are people who are pickpockets. Person looks after his money, puts it into the bank, deposit boxes, safes with padlocks, he's worried. But when the hand of the thief is applied, then he loots all of the wealth at that time. And we call those people thieves, and people who loot, there are minor thieves, pickpockets, big thieves, and there are big thieves. There are other thieves, like, for example, they explain in advance and then they make their move. So in the same way, with regarding the akhirah, there is also wealth. Regarding the hereafter, there is also wealth. And the wealth of the hereafter, there are thieves, there are bandits, highway robbers, you could call them. They loot the wealth of the hereafter. So if the wealth of the world is looted, a person becomes maybe poor. Maybe so this many thousand or hundreds of thousands have been finished. Obviously, it's a big shock for that person. But he still, time passes and he gets along. But the robbery with regards to the wealth of the hereafter is very dangerous. The wealth of the world, gold, silver, mal, dollars, etc. But the wealth of the hereafter, what is the name of that currency? The name is Iman. Iman. And good deeds. This is the wealth of the hereafter. Our wealth of the hereafter. This is the amount. Remember this. So what we see here is that nothing can compare to the wealth of the hereafter. How valuable is the wealth of the hereafter? Anything in this world. So when this wealth is present, and if it gets stolen, the wealth of the hereafter, it happens. Then this is all. So if the wealth of the world is stolen, what about the thieves for the wealth of the hereafter? Will there not be a thief or a bandit or a robber who will attack our wealth of Iman for the hereafter? Does any loot? Does the thief not loot our treasures? And does the thief not make us poor and left without anything? So brothers, the person who has Iman, he has a lot of wealth, mashallah. Very wealthy. He's not poor. He's very wealthy. Hundreds of thousands of people. If there's one person with Iman sitting amongst them, then he is the richest person from amongst all of them. Nobody can compare. If they all pass away at that time, but where will they go and where will he go? The person with Iman. To this extent, that even if a person has atoms weight of Iman, that all the people who don't have Iman, they are on one side, they are lighter than that person who has an atom's weight of Iman. I'm speaking about an atom's weight, particle of dust of Iman. So alhamdulillah, mashallah, that person was Iman, good Iman, strong Iman. How rich are those people? So don't they ever have fear? Are they not afraid? Don't they have fikr and concern that a thief will loot my wealth? No, they're not afraid. I've never seen until now a person who's got fikr and worry. Just like we worry about money, we're going outside and we phone. They look after the home, put the lights on, leave the lights on. We don't want a thief to come, a bandit. He may take my money. He might take something valuable away. Have we ever thought that Allah Ta'ala has given us a great amount of wealth, massive wealth. Have we had worry that I don't want this to be stolen? How shall I safeguard it? No fikr, no concern, no worry. So if we don't have the worry, if I don't have worry about my home, I don't have any due regard, then will the thieves not loot my home? Of course, first and foremost, if you call a policeman, he says, a theft has occurred at such a place, and I know that is my experience, and according to the law as well, he'll ask first, what security do you have at? Did you show me the locks on your doors? Show me this and that. And he'll go the flip side, and he comes on to the victim. That why didn't you secure your goods? Security comes first. If you had security, the thief wouldn't have come, isn't it? They say that, don't they? So in the same way, this is the blame on us, that we, if there's no security in our homes, then there will be, the theft will take place, the robbery will take place. So brothers, if we don't look after Iman, will it not be stolen or affected? It will, isn't it? So how many people with Iman, without Iman depart this world, because they have no security over them, and nor do they have fikr, no concern, nor do they have the desire that this wealth of Iman that we've got, let me protect it a little bit, let me safeguard it, let me put a fence around it. And how it's looted, so strong are the thieves of Iman, the bandits and the robbers and the looters. And these are those who say in advance and then they steal. He says, I'm shaitan and I'm going to loot your wealth. Save yourself if you can. He says it, doesn't he? Allah's also said this, isn't it? The shaitan, he's accursed. Adu'un mubin. He's the bandit. He's the robber. He will steal. He will loot you. So those who have no concern about this, who don't care, don't put a lock on it, they don't protect it, then they are in a very bad situation. Let me tell you the truth. A very bad situation. The more valuable the wealth is, the more sophisticated is the theft. And this is the akhirah we're talking about. The hereafter. Look. And how many, alhamdulillah, for example, amal we have, deeds, good deeds, Allah gives us the opportunity. And we get up in the morning, pray salah, fajr salah. What does this become for us? Wealth of the akhirah. After that, we recite the Quran. What does this become? Wealth of the akhirah. We sit down, do tasbihat. What does this become? Wealth of the akhirah. We sit down, recite durood sharif. What does this become? Wealth of the akhirah. What a great, great treasure for thereafter. Alhamdulillah, the doors start to open for paradise. So the bandit, the robber, he's also waiting. I'm not going to waste time. I'm not going to leave this victim. He goes forward, advances. There's no security on the wealth. He doesn't even leave and he loots his treasures. And he thinks, oh, it's okay, I'm automatically guaranteed. I've prayed this much salah, I've prayed this much Quran, I've recited Quran. But he doesn't even know that his treasure has been looted. And so tactfully and in a cunningly, he loots the wealth of Iman, and the person doesn't even realize. You have left home, and a person says, how are you? And you backbite a little bit, all deeds gone. End of story. The more mile you earned, and he'll take it out from you, the person that you backbited against, he'll transfer the deeds. The deeds will be transferred to that person's account. That's how he cleans you up, cleans us up. And has Allah Ta'ala not said that when a person backbites, his deeds are eliminated, wasted? When we pray salah, I'm happy, I've prayed salah, I've done dhikr, I've done good amal. Security first, safety first. First thing, when a person starts to earn amal, then first he should make his lock robust, that I need to protect my amal, subhanAllah. That's the person who has aql. That's the person who has wisdom. So what do we need to do from today? Not just amal, but what do we need to do? Is to secure our amal. That person is very unsuccessful all his life long. He's worked hard. Bring your amal, please. Amal? I've got many amal. I look to the side for his amal. He won't see them. Why? The person who backbite against, he's taken them. The person who he gave slander against, he takes his. The person who he swore against, he takes his deeds. There's nothing left to his deeds, his records. So when the amal will finish, then their sins will be transferred to his head. Is this not hadith, my brothers? So how much security have we done for our deeds, for our life, for our amal? No? None. So a big loss for the individual, that the insan, the human being, he doesn't protect his deeds himself, his iman, so the amal are stolen. So the dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance, is a great wealth. Is it not? Such a great wealth Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And the more a person does it, such a great wealth, subhanAllah, the dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance, that on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, there'll be wealthy people, like somebody's coming, he's a big king, he's the king of this world. So isn't his glory high, his status, his rank? Oh, he's a big king, he's a big shot, he's got money, people look at him carefully, attentively. Oh, he's a big man. He's a big man. He's got money. And if there's a person, you're sitting and there's a rich man. Oh, he's rich, he's rich. MashaAllah, look at his car, his pomp and his status and fat car. Everyone's looking at his car. Fat car, big car. Condition. Whoever comes out of Salah, definitely look, you'll glance to the side. Look at the car. What's this? This is the attraction. Oh, he's rich, he's wealthy. He's got money. What, Amir? He's nothing. A car? What's a car? It's made out of tin or metal. Is he rich? That person who's got a car made out of metal? Oh, yeah, look, look. He's rich. Look at his car. Look at his watch. Whoa. Look at that. A person, definitely somebody who will come out of the masjid. Definitely we glance towards the wealth of that person. Allah Ta'ala says that this wealth of the world, the people will be rich in the world. Those who do the dhikr of Allah will be so wealthy, so much wealth. They'll have so much money that it won't be counted here. Here they earn money and the angels will be counting their money. SubhanAllah. Me and you are sat here in dhikr. Understand what I'm saying? So the notes are being printed, tuck-a-tuck, tuck-a-tuck in the heavens. Yes? Sometimes it happens that the angels say that from their mouth such kalamats are being recited that we're tired of writing the rewards and the deeds. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And we're sat in the house of Allah, we've come for dhikr, we're not poor. We're not poor, you're not poor. My brothers, there's no poverty, my brothers. Yes, why are we looking at other cars? Just like we look at cars that rich people have, SubhanAllah. When you come out of the masjid, then the angels are looking at you, SubhanAllah. Oh, hadha rajul, this man, he did dhikr and the angels in the heavens, they're looking. Oh, look how rich he is, how wealthy, beautiful wife, because they know his wife. MashaAllah, his wife, you'll get this beautiful wife in the heavens. Transparent, her beauty will be so transparent in her body. You understand her husn? One is beauty that's visible, apparently. Yes, there may be husn in the beauty. There may be beautiful women in the world. What happens? They can just see the beauty visibly. But the hoor, her beauty, will be visible within. Transparent. Allahu Akbar. The reflection of the noor inside her. So much beauty of the noor. From inside it will be sparkling, twinkling. The hadith states this. SubhanAllah. People like us, tunde punde, will get this. Those who do dhikr, say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Glory be to Allah. That's where we'll realize. I'm telling you this now. I'm telling you now. The angel saying, oh, this man, mashallah. They'll say his name. That this is the man, and this is his palace that's being made. You say, yes, all the angels are working from morning. His palace is being made. Acha, it's his bathroom. Yes. He says, are you laughing or do you understand what I'm saying? Or shall I start reciting the Quran in front of you? Shall I tell you the verse? The whole Quran tells us this. If you don't understand this, then read Surah Ar-Rahman. Yes, and that's when you'll understand what's being said here. That which ni'mas of a mind, Allah Ta'ala said, will you reject? How many things of mine will you reject and leave, O jahil people? What things I'm giving to you? And you're rejecting them, shunning them. No, this is not present. This is good. Would we say this? This is called rejecting. What does it mean? Allah says, you're rejecting my ni'mas. Allah saying, time again, Allah saying this, isn't it? Why? Because we leave the hoor. Allah says, hoors are coming here, angels, dhikr. No, ya, this is rejecting. Allah says, you are leaving this thing of mine, you're running the other way, that you are rejecting Jannah. This is rejecting. So the announcement is made during the gathering of dhikr. So those who are doing dhikr have great wealth. Can a person imagine this? How much wealth he's got? Can we imagine this? Look, but we don't realize this. The notes are printed while you're doing dhikr. Your names are being printed and imprinted onto the palaces, on the mansions, the names apply. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was on the journey in the heavens, and sometimes on the farsh, on the arsh, SubhanAllah, great status of our Nabi, say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Recite the Rushi once. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadun wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Sometimes on the arsh, sometimes on the farsh, what maqam, sometimes on the earth, sometimes on the heavens. So he was wandering around near the arsh, he saw a palace. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stops and looks at that palace. Imagine that palace, my friends. Imagine, we look at cars. This car, oh mashallah, the nameplate. He's got a personal plate. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking in Jannah at the palace and stopping. Jibreel, that, what is this? What is this? Jibreel said, my parents, Prophet of Allah, may my everything of your, everything of mine be sacrificed. This is a palace. Whose palace? Said the Prophet. So they were thinking that Rasulullah saying that this could be my palace, mashallah, very beautiful. So then, hear the answer from Masjid Jibreel that this is a great palace. What was that palace, that mansion that Nabi Sallallahu was asking about? He said, is it? It's a palace? Oh, and there was noor and light sparkling coming from the palace. Whose palace is this? And Jibreel Islam smiled and said, this is the palace of your ghulam, of your colleagues. Subhanallah, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina. My ghulam? Which ghulam? Said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He started thinking, which ghulam? He said, this is your Umar Farooq. This is his palace. Allahu Akbar. Farooq-i Adam, his palace was being prepared. The Prophet ﷺ said, I stopped. I said, such a beautiful palace. And my heart fell. Obviously, the palace of my colleague. And so much love the Prophet ﷺ had with Umar Farooq. And if he had love, then he said, let me see his house for a little bit. This is the feeling, isn't it? You go to Pakistan. Whose house is this? This is your yard, your friend. Oh, is it his? Oh, show me his house. What's here? Let's have a look. We do this, don't we? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu said, whose house is that? Yar, this is the palace of my... Show me his mahal. Show me his palace. What's it like? He said, I started to walk. And then suddenly the Prophet said that I stopped, because it was Umar Farooq, and I stopped that maybe this is his palace and there'll be lots of good things in it. I didn't like that. I should go forward and look at it more. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So have you got a palace? Haven't you got a home in the hereafter? Do you still think you are poor? Say it. Not one. Many palaces are being made. Many. I swear by Allah and say this on this prayer mat, that at this moment in time the palaces that are being constructed, you cannot imagine that how rich and wealthy you are. Today you may be laughing at my words, on tomorrow on the day of judgment you will salute me. And you salute, the Hazrat said the right thing. Subhanallah. That maybe I will be behind you, mashallah, I'll be behind you looking after where you are going, but at least you'll remember me. The Hazrat said the right thing. Our palaces were made. Will you come to dhikr? True promise? True promise? Yes. You get something here. We don't see those things, but you're getting them. You're getting rich. This is wealth I'm talking about. I'm talking about wealth and masses of wealth and money. So much wealth. So much a person gets into the situation. And this is a great, great wealth. What is it for the akhirah? Dawlat. Wealth. Dhikr is wealth for the hereafter. As I said to you, amal. Deeds. Such a big wealth for the hereafter, masses of wealth. So rich will that person be. Those people who do the dhikr of Allah, the jamaat, say subhanallah, they'll be so wealthy in the hereafter. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, let me tell you the story about the rich people in my ummah, subhanallah. The rich people, the wealthy people, there'll be fakirs in the world. But in the akhirah, what will they be? They'll be wealthy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let me tell you how wealthy they'll be. Just like we see the wealthy people, he's come, this person's come. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let me tell you about the wealthy people. That until the whole of Qiyamah, there'll be Qiyamah. Qiyamah will be established, the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. Everyone will be running around, worried, distressed. And the sun will be low, and all the earth and the mountains will have gone. Everyone's got fikr and concern and anxiety. And then the rich people will stand. Subhanallah. So, Amir is Amir. Rich person, rich, isn't it? So, for example, there's a separate place for the rich people. So, rich people will be in a separate position. Just like here in the world, the rich people go separately. So, they'll have thrones and made of rubies and pearls and diamonds and precious gems. And the rich people will be sat on their seats. And everyone else in the world will be stuck. And the rich people will be sat on their thrones and seats. And their faces will have been changed, subhanAllah. A noor will be dripping from their faces. And they will be made so beautiful that every hoor will be an ashik, a lover of them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So much ashiks that they will, please let me get married to this person. The hoors of paradise will say that the rich, the hoors will say, let me get married to this person. The whole world will say that they're so rich, that what amal did they have? Which deed that brought them in? They're so wealthy, so much mal, so much wealth accumulated. And it stated, yes, they had such an amal, such a deed, that so much wealth they accumulated for thereafter. So will you do that amal? Inshallah. True, honest promise, commitment. They were so rich that they used to hidden. In hiding they used to do their work, nobody knew. And the notes for the hereafter were being printed. So wealthy are they, subhanAllah. Pounds were printed, dollars, pounds, taka-taka, their money, their currency was being printed. Allah tell us, who are those people? We said, these will be those people. These were those people, subhanAllah. What did Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? What's the name of this masjid? Masjid al-Taqwa. In Masjid al-Taqwa, they used to be sitting, propped up by the pillars. They used to gather together in this masjid. They used to sit down, and a person would come there, and he would host them and say, let's do dhikr, and they'd all sit there. Subhanallah. And from amongst them, there were people who didn't even know each other. Somebody spoke Gujarati, English, or Hindi, or other language. Someone's from this country, from that country, English. They didn't know each other personally. They sat there and kept on looking at the host. He would start, they'd all start saying, Hasbunallahu, Allahu Akbar. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The angel said, where did this happen? In Masjid al-Taqwa, every week after, on Friday evening. And Friday is very beloved to me because that's the day of Durood Sharif. Subhanallah. And they wouldn't leave until they sent me on Durood on me. Together, they'd recite themselves, and they would host and allow people in the world to recite. And dharra, dharra, the particles would recite the durood after them. Durood Sharif is such an action. When you start to recite, then the whole world and universe starts to recite. Subhanallah. So there's a kashf of a pious elder. What can I say to you? His kashf, his vision. So he saw in that kashf that when the majlis, when the Durood Sharif started, then all of the hoors of the heavens, they would put their hands together. They were reciting that durood and they were swaying to and fro with the durood. He stated these were those people who would gather together. They did the dhikr of Allah. Then their wealth, you can imagine their wealth in the dunya. Where did they show it? On the day of judgment, it was shown that how wealthy these people are, will be, are. So are we wasting our time, or are we doing the right thing? But we're wasting our time running after the dunya. What would we have done for this hour? Left home, sat at home, eaten, gossip mongering. Oh, it's not necessary to go dhikr. Oh, we keep hearing this. What's this dhikr? Oh, I did dhikr the other day or earlier. We waste our opportunity. How many years of life we have wasted? Hey, fakirs. Poor, and we get the beats in the hereafter as well. What a waste of time. Here we've not earned nothing, and there we won't earn anything. Here is just that what Allah Ta'ala will give. In the hereafter, Allah says, earn as much as you can for the hereafter. As much as you can. So now, let's come towards the genuine point, the point of the discussion. So you understand the wealth of the hereafter? So remember, where there's wealth, there is what? The thief. Mulana Sahib, are you? So now, have you come here to earn? Or you know to where? Will there not be a thief after you? Won't there? So shaitan, will he let you take all these notes with you? Tell me. Will he? That what you're earning now, will he allow you to take all these notes and currency and wealth? So he'll say, oh, commit the theft, loot all of this, destroy this person. He started to make maal. Let me grab this and take this away from him. So cautious should be a person, those people, men and women who do dhikr, so cautious that he will not leave you. He will try his best to grab your maal, your wealth. What is your maal? What is your wealth? Say it loudly. What is it? You don't understand what I'm saying. You haven't understood my point. What can I say to you? Come on, are we animals? Which amal are you doing? Dhikr Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That this, what you're earning, dhikr of Allah, the wealth of dhikr is such a great wealth, such a great wealth. The example I've given to you, such a great wealth that we cannot imagine. You've seen such a big hadith, I've told you. So will shaitan leave us and let us run with the wealth to thereafter? Or will he say, let me grab and steal their wealth? So every dhakir is so rich, shaitan will try his best that the dhakir, let me loot his wealth, grab his wealth, steal his wealth. And he'll try to detach the dhakir from his action of dhikr so that the wealth can stop being printed. So be careful, every person who does dhikr, that this is a massive, massive reward of Allah to earn the wealth for thereafter. But the thief and the bandit for this is very severe. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Good. So every day, we need to, don't think it's easy that you'll just earn and print the notes and currency and depart. No, we need to be careful that the dhikr of Allah, we should give total protection to the dhikr of Allah. Yes, and there's one tact, the dhakir, what do they do? The person who loots the wealth of dhikr, what's his tactics? The bandit, the thief, the robber. The first action shaitan does when he attacks the dhakir and he whispers a very strong whisper. What's the benefit of this dhikr you're doing? He says. Yes. Oh, Hazrat Sahib said this happens and that happens. Hadith. This is, oh, many times you've heard this. And Hazrat says after dhikr, this happens, that happens. But we've not got anything, so I'm not going to do dhikr. I'm going to leave dhikr. The shaitan whispers this in the ears, the heart. Some people don't say this, but the game of shaitan has taken effect in the heart. They stop this action. So when a person leaves dhikr and departs, or he takes a U-turn, he's lazy on dhikr, he doesn't do dhikr, he doesn't attend dhikr, or he leaves the dhikr in the gathering, consider that shaitan has attacked that person. Remember it. Number one sign. Shaitan has attacked that person. Yes, shaitan is successful. He's done his hisab. Previous his mal is gone and the future mal is gone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, what is the solution to this issue? Number one, a person, every man who's listening, who sat in front of me, put your hand on your heart and swear and promise, my life will go, but I will not leave the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. This is the first padlock. You whisper of shaitan, whispering, bad thoughts, influence. Doesn't matter how bad you get. This is such a big wealth, I'm not going to leave this because Allah has promised. Allah has promised in the Quran, in the hadith, that this is a great, massive wealth. Never will I leave this, never. Yes, do you understand? Do we promise? Inshallah. So this is one padlock. So you're feeling lazy, no enjoyment, no feeling good, waswasa, whispers, you don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. Say, how dare I? Allah has started to give you this wealth. In every way or form, arrive to the gathering. Sit in the gathering with the two people. I've not seen these people before. They come to Thursday night. They've come first time here. Who's brought them here? Shaitan or Rahman has brought them here. Allah. Subhanallah. So extra, Allah Rahman has brought them here. Look at this. So that Allah says, I want to give them more wealth. There must be a talab, a desire inside them, or dua that they recited, something like that. And the good people, those who do dhikr, they continue to do dhikr, they continue to do dhikr, they have akal, wisdom, knowledge, awareness. Allah Ta'ala takes them away from dhikr. So who takes them out? Shaitan influences them. Who brings them? Rahman. Who takes them out? Shaitan. So shaitan has looted. So a person, we see him in this position, that Allah has given him the tawfiq, he was doing dhikr of Allah, and he was doing dhikr, he would sit in dhikr, he had love for the dhikr, and now he's gone scarpered for that person, recited astaghfar for yourself, Allahu Akbar. He was good, but he's destroyed his own deeds and life, and he has rejected and kicked him to touch the wealth of Allah. One hadith, I read to you what a great wealth this is. Shall I tell you another hadith? That I tell you this many times, listen to it again. That so wealthy were those people who did the dhikr of Allah. You are so rich, you are so wealthy. If you save this wealth, you don't know how long his life, if not today, tomorrow, he may steal our iman. Always, every day, second, be alert. Shaitan says that until the last breath, I try to grab his wealth and loot it, plunder it. He's the bandit. Let me take his wealth, his palace is being made. Soon as he pulls and drags, then all the palaces of that person, the person with the iman, they crumble to dust and collapse onto the ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he's a big, big thief, and he commits big theft. How rich is that person? The dhakir? Very rich, so wealthy, so loaded, so loaded. Allah says, so loaded and wealthy, and rich is the person who's the dhikr, that people will go with the hisab in the hereafter, they'll have to go through the test. But the people who do dhikr will walk into paradise laughing and smiling. VIPs, they'll be saluted. Please, enter. Open the doors for them. Easily. Such big phases and tests to come, my brothers. To get up from the grave, then to stand, then to give the accounting for your deeds. Then the darkness, severity, the sweat, shaking, trembling, difficulties, bridge of Sirat, crossing the bridge of Sirat. And how many hundreds of thousands of years it will take. But we, the people, those who do dhikr of Allah will bypass all those difficulties. And he will be told, here's Jannah for you. Why? Because you're rich, because you're VIP, very important person, salute. Laughing and smiling, the dhaki will walk into Jannah. So then tell me how strong will be the thief, the robber for the dhakir. So when you see a person who's progressing nicely and he leaves dhikr, becomes lazy, drops the tasbih, says not, oh, what's going to go today, tomorrow? One majlis to leave the majlis. Remember this. Shaitan, when he makes a person leave one deed, then with ease he makes the person leave the next deed. One sin, when he makes you do the sin, then the second time the sin is easy to implement. He has big tactics, cunning, clever, because he's been given the power to steal. So much power, he's such a big bandit that he will reach to your stomach. He will wander in your veins, in your arteries, in your blood. He's that strong. So should we not protect ourselves or not? Tell me. Should we? Shouldn't we? So he's such a big thief, and this is how he commits the theft. So the first thing is what? The laziness, the negligence. Why should I do dhikr or leave it? Oh, I'll go again some other time. I did dhikr yesterday. Why do I have to go now? See people, somebody comes, sometimes nobody comes, somebody sits down, sometimes nobody sits down. And now just today, 3-4 days he's not here, then he's suddenly sitting down today. What is this? Why negligence? Why the laziness? Why? A person who is continuous, regular, the richest person, the wealthiest, the person who knows from the first day that this is the item that will give me wealth for the akhirah, he swears him, promises, and the rest of his life he spends doing that. Whether he's forced to leave, Allah doesn't send him himself, he's ill, or such a game is played out that he can't attend, that's Allah's choice. Even then he'll get the reward. But automatically himself, with his own laziness and negligence, he leaves the gathering. Does anyone leave it, my friends? Can you leave it? That, you know, for example, if there's £100,000 that I'll get for coming for one day, £10,000 is the turnover. Will you leave that shop? Tell me, who will leave that shop? So we don't have yaqeen. We don't have certainty. So who can leave this majlis? Tell me. Yes, a person, even if we're crippled or there's something wrong with the leg, we'll arrive at a person who's lazy, negligent. That means shaitan has attacked that person. So Allah Ta'ala, the walis of Allah, they encourage that, remember. So this is the hadith to remember, to listen, and then we go towards dhikr. Subhanallah. It is stated that the person who is lazy, if the waswasa of shaitan, whispering of shaitan come, then why do you leave dhikr? Why do you leave dhikr? Why do you leave the remembrance of Allah? The pious elders have stated, why are you leaving the remembrance of Allah? Look, I tell you that how a person can strengthen himself. If today you are doing dhikr with negligence and laziness, shaitan is making you want to run away, and you run away, don't run with laziness, negligence. Be consistent, regular in your dhikr. Yes? And today if you're regular with dhikr, tomorrow your same dhikr, it will be the dhikr where you are regular and fast and solid and steady. Tomorrow the same dhikr where you are weak today, if you stick to it, adhere to it, so the dhikr you do today out of laziness will become solid. Then shaitan will attack again. But you carry on regular, steadfast. When you are then steadfast, your same dhikr then will become the dhikr of presence of mind and heart. This hadith. And when you then are steadfast with presence of mind and heart, you don't drop your tasbih, then your same dhikr will go towards qurbi ilahi, the nearness, the closeness to Allah, and it will take you to the meeting with Allah. So those same people are those who get successful. And this is what we call when people reach to this status, this glory, rank, and no kashf, no miracles, no dreams, he just carries on, no side desires. Do you enjoy it? No. Do you feel satisfaction? No. Do you feel like it? No, I don't feel like it. But he carries on doing dhikr. That he doesn't go through negligence, laziness, to regular, steadfast, robust, to presence of mind and heart, to the qurb of Allah. And after the qurb of Allah, what does he feel then? Subhanallah. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, Sayyidul Arifin, I'll tell you the example. He is the wali of Allah from our silsila, Naqshbandi zila. The shan, the glory of the Naqshbandis is what? Listen, what is the glory of the Naqshbandi? And we should have these feelings within us. You have this, but I'll just revise that topic. That what is the glory of the Naqshbandi? What is the status of the Naqshbandi? What is the rank of the Naqshbandi? 20 years, his murid, his student, his disciple stayed with him, with Hazrat Sahib. I'm telling you, the status of Naqshbandi Sheikh. How many years? 20 years the student. Here, children are born and they get young. And they grow up 20 years, then they get married. So in 20 years, the student, after 20 years, he asked something. That every day you forget my name, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You keep asking me every day, what's your name, Yar? Then you forget me, then you call me with another name. 20 years, don't you remember my name? You keep forgetting my name. He smiled and said, you're right. Right, that since in my heart one name I've remembered, I've forgotten all the names. Subhanallah. So say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That when this becomes the condition of a person, when he gets to the fourth step, Hazuri, presence of mind and heart, and Qurbilahi, he forgets everyone's name except Allah. He doesn't remember anyone's name, I swear by Allah. That's it. And this is in our silsila, in our Naqshbandi silsila. This is called what? Istiqlab. What do you call this? This is called, for example, the operation's about to take place. So what do? Oh, send him to the operation. They give the anesthetic. He goes unconscious. So the Naqshbandi, what does he do? That in the end, he gets to the stage. An injection is applied. What? That just Allah, 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 nothing else. And then he's like, he's unconscious. He's not aware of anything. He doesn't remember anything else around him. So he becomes unaware apart from Allah. Every part of his body, every limb, organ, part of his body is Allah, 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 Allah. That's it. So that's why when you see a Naqshbandi after a while, he is remembering Allah like a chicken, his head is bowed. A little bit of time, bit of discussion, then he focuses on the heart. He doesn't think, he has to go to pray Salah, 2 minutes left. He look, 2 minutes left, prayed Sunnah, 2 minutes, remembering Allah in the heart. When a person gets to this habit, then understand that he's got to the point of Hazuri, presence of mind and heart. He's escaped from the thieves and the plunderers and the looters. But a normal person, looking around, moving around, what's time? What time was it meant to be? Okay. Oh, then you look from that person in the door, that person. This is what a person does in a masjid, isn't it? Doesn't it occur? Yes. Yar, why hasn't he come? What time? He's speaking to him, talking to him, gossiping. For that person, 3 minutes to pass is so difficult. Naqshbandi, 3 minutes he thinks is a wealth. He closes his eyes and let me wander around in the heavens. Subhanallah. Try this, experience this. Do you understand what I'm saying? 2-3 points I've explained. Do you understand? Number one, never leave dhikr of Allah. Doesn't matter how much shaitan tells you, because those who leave dhikr, consider then his wealth has been looted, stolen. He's become the poorest person. Shaitan has looted his wealth. Totally finished. His whole mal has gone. An empty box wandering around. He doesn't know nothing. Empty, empty. And secondly, person who's lazy, negligent, then there are 4 stages. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Keep on continuing, ascending, ascending, ascending. And the fourth thing is that never, never, when you get an opportunity to go to dhikr, never be lazy. Why? Because it's time to earn wealth, time to earn money. And always, the amal we do, protect the amal first, security, safety first. How do we protect our amal? How, my brothers? In a way that shaitan, he will try to tell us to do things from our speech, from our body, from our movements that will waste our amal. So be steadfast and staunch. I've earned these amal today. I've prayed Ishraq. I've read 1 juz of Quran. I need to protect this. When shaitan comes, he'll try to make me lie, backbite against someone. So first and foremost, he will try to make me backbite, because backbiting is easily done, isn't it? He'll make me backbite or lie. So I should be staunch. I've recited 1 juz of Quran. Promise first that inshallah, I will not backbite against anybody. I want to save my Quran. And from this method, you can secure yourself. That I have done this amal, for example, that today you've done amal, you prayed 5 times salah, Jumu'ah, you've done dhikr, read Quran, tilawat, tasbih, tabligh, ta'aleem, education. This much wealth you've earned. We've earned, isn't it? So until the evening, we need to protect it. And so what do? We have to recite in the night and say in the night before we sleep, Allah, all the amal you've made me do, Allah, please protect my, safeguard my deeds. And whenever you do an amal, then after that, first and foremost, what should you say in dua? That Allah, you've made me do this amal, that a lot of my wealth has accumulated, please give me security so I don't do anything bad, so that my deeds don't go to waste. Do dua to Allah and recite this, and then stay alert that I don't want to do something wrong. Otherwise my mal, my wealth will be wasted. It will be wasted. Another point, let me tell you, you will be happy. That if you make a mistake and your deeds are wasted, then you can go back straight away. Because this is with Allah, isn't it? That Allah Ta'ala has given us a key. Success. Person makes a mistake, that like for example you've done dhikr and a mistake. Oh, and you say something from your mouth wrong and the mal is gone. The wealth is gone. Start, do one action straight away to compensate. Allah, please forgive me. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Say, return his deeds to him. Return his mal to him. Allahu Akbar. This is the final point I've just told you. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Person makes a mistake, but we need to bring the deeds back. And listen to another point. The mal that we've accumulated, saved, the thief has stolen it. You understand what I'm saying? Now what? Look what happens. The thief has looted it. By mistake, you backbited. You recited istighfar. When Allah returns the mal, the wealth, Allah says, don't just give it like that. Give it with interest. Higher. More. Extra. Because he's accepted his mistake. Then put some extra on top of this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So if ever you make a mistake with your wealth and you let it get stolen, don't wait, take off tasbih, no, stay there, straight away stand there. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And then the mal will be returned, your wealth will be returned with interest. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. شفيع زمين طه ياسين الحبيب الممين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد
نبي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وزوجته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنه حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب زرب قلوبنا لا اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واجعلنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات اطفئ بلاياتنا يا دافع البلايات اطفئ بلاياتنا يا دافع البلايات اطفئ بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم عافنا في قلبي ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.